Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight.
I felt like I was in a Bounty commercial, you know, where the cup spills, and it hit, and as it went through, I kind of just paused and probably skipped a beat, but that's honestly the emotion where it was at to go. We put it on the left, but was thankful, obviously, to knock it through, but it was definitely a long 8-9 seconds field goal.
As strange at times, and as circuitous as Washington's win over the Bucks was last night in primetime, it was perfectly fitting for this 2024 group coming down to the wire, winning those big victory moments that they talk about all the time at the end of the game. Fifth straight contest, final play from scrimmage goes Washington's way for a win. 13 wins now on the campaign and counting. They are on to Detroit to take on the Lions with some thoughts on the Commanders' victory in Tampa and how they match up with Detroit. Our buddy Jay Gruden joins
on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tebbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebbert.com.
Jay, what'd you make of the Commanders' win last night?
Amazing win. Amazing game to watch down here in Florida. It was a fun game. Critical moments were captured by, Washington. They made the plays when they had to and got it done at the end. It was a hell of a game.
What was the most important kind of hidden play in the game? Everyone's going to play the doink off the upright to end it. But to you, what was the one where as soon as like that happened, the play happened, you went, you know what? Washington's going to win this game.
Probably the pass to De'Ami Brown on 3rd and 6. The deep crossing route, in route that set up to the game-winning field goal, the drive anyway. There's still 4.5 minutes to go. If they don't catch that ball and they have to punt, obviously Tampa Bay has a ton of time to get the victory. So I think the De'Ami Brown throw, he anticipated that throw across the middle, is a perfect throw. Location was great. Great job by De'Ami locating it. And I think that was probably the biggest play of the game.
There's
a lot of big ones, but that was a big one.
Yeah, that's a great one. Running backs on actual runs, 18 carries for 34 yards last night, and they still won with Jaden going for 300 all-purpose and not turning the ball over. Describe your breakdown of his outing at quarterback.
It's first class. Top-notch, top quarterback in the National Football League. He won the top 3 or 4 right now the way he's playing. And it's just his game management skills. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. He only got sacked one time against a pretty good Buck defense. And it wasn't like he was in second one all day. They had some tough downs. They had some 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6s. Todd Bowles tried to blitz him. He just escapes with his feet. He anticipates throws. He's playing as good as any quarterback in the National Football League, without a doubt. And he makes it look effortless. It looks so easy for him. It doesn't look like he's trying. He just gets it done. It's really weird.
Jay, when you say game management, I think a lot of folks just sort of think of, somebody just checking it down a bunch. But go into what that actually means in terms of, sort of the intricacies and how complicated it is for anybody, let alone a rookie quarterback, to be able to do it.
Yeah, he's got an innate ability to he knows when to escape with his legs and make a positive play on a passing play. He knows when to check it down. He knows when to take a shot. He hardly ever makes a wrong decision with the ball in his hands, which is really weird for a first-year quarterback. You see him check it down to Eckler. You see him scramble for Gannett, too, because it's the only play. He seems to make best play, which is the only play half the time. I haven't rarely have I seen him. What are you doing, Jake? Why would you throw this into coverage? Why would you make this decision? Why would you scramble? The guy's wide open. You watch a film and he's making the play that is he's supposed to make every time. It's uncanny.
Yeah, and in the biggest moments, he's just so calm. I've never seen anything like the reaction he had to the game-winning field goal. I don't know if you've seen that video, but he doesn't really emote. Like, he kind of stands up, and you can't tell if they won or they lost. He wouldn't have known it. He's just a different kind of cat.
There's another play early in the game in the first quarter. They were backed up. They just went down and drove and missed the field goal. And so they got the ball. He had 3rd and 6 at their own 12. And he escapes to his right. Everybody's covered, and he just randomly looks to his left and finds Zach Ertz for a gain of 12, and they move the sticks, and they go on to have a 17-play, 9-minute drive. Not many quarterbacks are going to roll to the right by the sideline, flip their hips to the left, and find a guy across the middle. It just doesn't happen very often, and that play right there was another pivotal play in the game nobody talks about.
And he threw the ball from the end zone, by the way. Like that, he was drifting into the end zone. He was in the red paint when he threw it, and I'm going, get rid of it. Throw it. Like, what are you doing? It was, you know what it's like? It's like a shooter in basketball. Like, no.
Great shot.
Good job.
Great shot.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. That drive ate up 9 minutes, and they got a touchdown on that drive. That just kind of changed the whole complexion of the game.
You were here when an instrumental in evaluating and drafting Terry McLaurin. What did you guys see? Take me back to that time. I mean, could you have envisioned this? He's just an absolute beast. He's a second-team All-Pro. I had the huge catch early. He makes catches like that every week, so it's not surprising. But it's a crazy impressive catch. Goes 7 for 89 and a touchdown last night.
Yeah, no, he wasn't really the number one guy at Ohio State. They had a couple other guys. Paris Campbell was on that team. I think Curtis Samuel might have been on that team as well.
He was, yeah.
I think J.K. Dobbins was probably on that team. So they had a really good football team. And he didn't really emerge as a top prospect, top five, top three-round player until the Senior Bowl. When he played in the Senior Bowl, he dominated the Senior. He's the best player on the Senior Bowl field by far. And he moved up our draft board like rocket fire. And, you know, we were hoping we got him in the third. I thought we should have taken him in the second, but I think we ended up trading our second-round pick. We ended up getting late in the first. We got the Sweat late in the first in that draft. We had to wait till the third round to get Terry. So, fortunately, he fell to us. But, yeah. And then you get him in person, and it's just explosion. His burst is his ability to do whatever you want him to do. He's just got a great acceleration. He's very smart, very detailed in what he does. He's never going to line up wrong. He's a perfect player. You know, combination of great kid, great player, productive speed. He's tough. He'll block. He does it all. I mean, I don't know what else you want him to do.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Jay, what do you make of the fourth down decisions of Dan Quinn? So I'll say for me, it's just a pudgy zilch at home. I love it. I'm sitting there pumping my fist. Even when it doesn't work, it's like, to me, like playing blackjack. You play a certain way and gives you the best chance. But I've also never had to answer questions at a podium. So, I don't necessarily know what that's like. But going to the mind of the head coach there, what'd you make of those fourth down calls?
Yeah, I think he has total faith in Cliff and Jaden, without a doubt. And I think this is something that they're doing now. This is what they do. So it's not surprising for anybody. Cliff's ready for him when it's fourth down, so it's good for Cliff to know that, hey, we're going to go for these, so I'm ready for my sheet to be called. The quarterback's ready. The team's ready. They don't even jog off the field and expect the field to look up. They're ready to go for it. That's awesome that Coach Quinn has that much faith in a rookie quarterback, and he should. They're 88% converting damn things. I mean, why would you kick a field goal or a punt? Trust Wade didn't even show up yesterday. Did he even get off the bus?
Just a hold.
That was a good hold, yeah. Too. I think it has a lot to do with the faith in the quarterback and the people executing the plan, and he has total faith in the guys doing it, and I can't even begin to fault him for going for it, even if he doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their fourth down success, and you wonder why they go as often as they do or why they did some of the things they did. And they are the most successful team on fourth down out of over 700 teams, basically, in terms of, like, offenses over the last X number of years. And it's been that way all year long in terms of their EPA per play, how often they move the chains, how often they get those. Give me some things you liked about Kingsbury's plan and calls yesterday, and then if there's anything that was questionable.
I don't think there's anything questionable. You know, they tried to run the ball. Obviously, that's the strength of Tampa Bay's defense, but you can't just totally give up on the run. You still have to make them honor the inside zones and some of the run plays that they had. But overall, I think he did a good job. Him and Jaden have a very good comfort level with one another as far as the plays they're calling. They had great tempo. I love the tempo. You know, I think when you play against a Todd Bowles team and you're stagnant and you're breaking the huddle and you're lining it up, Todd Bowles can disguise his coverage. He can disguise his blitzes. But you go to the ball fast, even if you're not snapping it fast, it makes Todd Bowles get his call in quicker, and he can't get into some of his exotic defenses and blitzes. So I think that was A-plus for Cliff attacking Todd Bowles' defense like that. So, yeah, the plays were there. I mean, some of the red zone plays were excellent. You know, the crossing route to Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone on fourth down, he was probably a secondary guy. You know, the front side three-man combination was probably his first read, but the safety cheated over there, and Jay went right to Terry for an easy touchdown. Everything was working for him, and Cliff does a great job, but Jaden does an unbelievable job of executing and getting to the right people.
Jay, you mentioned Tampa's D. It looked like they sort of changed their style up as the game was progressing, right? Early on, you associate Todd Bowles with blitzing. You know, if he could blitz twice on the same play, he would. You know, I mean, just he loves it. Seemed like they kind of went away from that at times based on what Washington was doing. What did you see from their defense and kind of that live chess match that was going on?
Yeah, I think he was, you know, he saw him at halftime. He was bewildered at halftime. I don't know if you saw the interview. He's like, hey, we got to quit us. Let him escape to the left. I mean, right. I mean, the defense is left.
Yeah,
I mean,
my right. Left on his yeah. Right, but his stage left.
Yeah. So he was a bad. And then he went to a three-man rush with double spies. I mean, that's what Jaden does to you. I mean, you don't know how to defend him. You know, it's you know, he breaks contain so effortlessly, and guys are wide open. And then he lost a starting corner, I think, early in the second quarter, and had a backup corner in there, so he's probably had to protect him a little bit. So, you know, obviously Cliff's tempo had a lot to do with this, so I think Bowles was a lot more conservative than he would be any other day.
Jay Gruden with us each and every week throughout the season and throughout what is now a longer playoff run than most expected. We'll see if they can keep the train on the tracks against the Detroit Lions. A couple other things. That we've heaped some praise on the defense. You know, people are pointing to they only gave up 20 points, and nobody really thought they would do that. I think that's about Washington's offense, though. They ran 70 plays to Tampa Bay's 44. Time of possession was 35-26 to 24-34. They dominated holding the football. I point to the end of the game with 4:41 to go, and they never gave the Bucs the ball back. Like, to me, their best defense was actually their offense. Baker had a 150 quarterback rating, and they averaged 6.5 yards per play. Bucky Irving averaged 4.5 yards per carry after a slow start. What did you make of how they played defensively? I just thought they hit that group just enough.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's complimentary football. Offense did a great job of possessing the ball and keeping the defense fresh. You know, Tampa Bay had 7 possessions, 2 touchdowns, 2 punts, 2 field goals, and a fumble. So, I mean, that's not terrible. You know, holding them to 3 points and then getting a turnover. I know it was a gift of a turnover, but still. And they held them to 2 punts. And so, yeah, I think they play good. They play hard, man. I like the way they play. They play hard, and they're not the most talented defense out there. They don't have any first-ballot Hall of Famers or Pro Bowlers on their defense, but they do have a lot of guys that play together and play hard, and they're in the right spot where they're supposed to be. They're going to give up some plays against good offenses. That's going to happen, but I like the fact that they're always running to the ball, and they're playing their asses off. That's what I like.
Jay, so I want to go to that Lattimore-Evans thing. It's one of those things where you want your guys to be competitive. And again, I want your sort of head coaching hat on here. You want your guys to want to seek the challenge, right? At what point as a coach do you walk over to the DC or whoever and go, we got to do something different. This ain't working, you know? And to their credit, they did. They made that adjustment. But you ever had something like that happen? And you know, then you could sort of pull that headset up and whisper in the defensive coordinator's ear, like, hey, maybe go to play, you know, sheet number 2 here on the old play calls.
Yeah, we've had that. We've tried to match defensive backs up against really good receivers. They start moving around in different spots, and we just get torched. I say, hey, let's reevaluate this. Let's go back to where they're supposed to be and play zones and whatever. But, yeah, you have to reevaluate certain things during the game. Make adjustments. Hopefully they're not too wholesale adjustments, but some minor tweaks are always important on game day.
Jay Gruden on the Fan. All right, let's look ahead to the Lions then for a couple of moments with you, if you don't mind. Saturday night, 8 p.m. kick in Detroit, the 1 seed. Detroit's going to be very rested. Washington, obviously, a short week now. They probably landed at, I don't know, 2 in the morning, got in their beds by 3 or 4, so you lose most of today anyway. What kind of chance do you give them?
I give them a great chance, really. I think offensively they can get after Detroit's defense. We know they're banged up. They play hard, though, on that turf. Glenn does a great job with that defense, blitzing, running around. They hustle around. They have some good players out there. But, you know, obviously it's all about trying to stop Detroit. But I think it's still going to come down to Coach Campbell and Coach Quinn, some of their fourth down decisions. You know, Coach Campbell's equally as aggressive, if not more aggressive, and Coach Quinn going for it on fourth down. So these are the plays, the situational type plays that you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to step up and make the plays. Going for it, stopping them on fourth down, red zone, third downs, those will be the big plays, and whoever can make those will end up victorious. But Detroit's offense is damn near unstoppable. They're very good, but they have some chinks in their armor. They can turn the ball over. Jared has had games where he throws five interceptions. You know, he's turned the ball over. So you got to force the ball out and make some plays on defense, and then Jaden, just continue to do your thing.
What would your message be this week? Just as, you know, they're you're coming off the win, you got short rest, the rested team, the one seed. You already kind of going into this, but I'd love, again, to kind of put your coach's hat on. Where you're playing a great team, you're heavy underdogs. What kind of messaging would you have?
Oh, we expect to win. We're going to go up there and do everything we can to win. We're going to have a great week of practice. We're going to play our ass off. We're going to get up a great plan. You guys are going to be all in on the week of practice and the preparation, and we're going to go up there and take our swings. We're going to swing for the fences. That's all we're going to do. That's what we do. That's what they do in Washington now. They swing for the fences, going for it on fourth down. They're going to blitz. They're going to tackle. They're going to rush to the football, force turnovers, block, tackle. They're going to do all the things necessary to win this football game, but it starts this week with preparation, great preparation, a great state of mind, the confidence that we're going to go up there and kick their ass.
Jay, how about tonight's game, Monday Night Football, Vikings-Rams. They've moved the game to a neutral site, so it's kind of a wacky lead-up to this game for both teams, in a sense, now playing in Phoenix. Who do you like to advance and play the Eagles in the Final Four in the NFC?
It'll be interesting because the Rams haven't looked too good on offense. They've been trying to really feature Kyron Williams in a running game, but that's not going to work too well against Minnesota's front. They got a really good defensive front for stopping the run. So Stafford's going to have to air it out. They're going to have to protect Stafford. That's the biggest concern I have for the Rams offense. Then obviously Sam Darnold, man, he can't play like he played last week. He's got to play like Sam Darnold the first 12 weeks. So I like Minnesota, though. I just think top to bottom, I think Minnesota has a better team. I do like Stafford in clutch situations a little bit more than Sam Darnold because Sam hadn't had to do it. Matthew has. That might come down to that. But I think it's going to be a great game. These guys are know each other pretty well, Kevin and Sean. It'll be fun to watch.
Non-Washington division, who impressed you the most over the weekend?
Probably Baltimore. Baltimore without Zay Flowers, they still racked up 320 yards rushing. They just beat the hell out of Pittsburgh. Buffalo's just Buffalo. They're unbelievable, those two teams. And obviously Washington, other than Washington. But, yeah, there's some good football teams out there. I think the best teams. The cream always rises to the top of season playoff time. So it's fun to watch these guys. And next week is going to be unreal.
Jay, Mike McCarthy's out in Dallas. There are some thoughts maybe that Ben Johnson ends up with the Cowboys. He's been rumored to Jacksonville. I mean, if you were the number one sought-after guy in this cycle, where would you want to end up?
It would probably depend on who my personnel guys, who I'm working with. You know, are they going to force a GM on me that's going to make the personnel decisions for me? I think Ben will probably have his own guy he'll want to work with. So that's number one. Number two will be the quarterback. Who's my quarterback? I'd probably like to work with Dak. He's still young, coming off an injury a little bit. They got CD. They got some good players on that roster. Jacksonville, I'm just up and down on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he's the guy that deserves that type of contract. He hasn't performed consistently at any point in his career. At least Dak has been mentioned for Offensive Player of the Year and MVPs before. He's had some great years, not in the playoffs, so to speak, but I'd probably lean towards Dallas.
Jay, always awesome, my friend. I like that we're talking about a playoff victory here in Washington with you. A lot of fun, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. See you guys later.
It's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Commanders' first playoff win in 6,945 days last night. The wait is finally over.
Is that all?
Thanks largely to Jaden Daniels.